Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. In Vishnu Sahasranam, name 494 is Deva Brit and 495 is Guru, or they can be taken together as one name, Deva Brit, Guru. The names previous to this have all established Vishnu as superior to all the demigods, or they state him to be superior to all the demigods. Bhuta Maheshwara, he's the Lord of all beings. Adi Deva, he's the origin. Aham Adir Hi Devanam, he's the origin of all the demigods. Mahadeva, the great god. Devesha, the master, the controller of all the gods. And Deva Brit means one who holds or supports the demigods. He supports them in their position. They have, from our perspective, tremendous power. They're not actually very powerful. Vishnu is powerful. Balam balavatam chaham. He is the power of the powerful. Krishna is the power of the powerful. But he imbues them with power so that they can perform their respective functions, and he protects them in their position. So he's the Lord of all the gods, but as many times we understand in discussion of this Vishnu Sahasranama, he's not just above everyone, but he's also loving to them. It's not that he takes that position and exploits them, as most people in this world would do if they get a position. Therefore, the saying is, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. But Krishna's not like that. He has absolute power, and he's not corrupt. He supports. So he's above all the gods. And to support gives the idea of being underneath also. So he's behind them, we can say. Not behind in terms of being less than them, but he's unseen, even by them. Even the demigods themselves may not, they often may not appreciate that it's actually Vishnu who's supporting them. There are many instances for instance, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's described that Krishna, he went to the heavenly planets having recovered the earrings of the mother of the demigods, Aditi, who's also his own mother, which had been stolen by the demon Narakasura, and he returned them to Indra, who was himself not competent enough to get them back from the demon had... It was an insult to Indra that he could steal the earrings of the mother of the demigod. So Krishna restored them. Krishna went with Satyabhama, who saw the Parijata tree and thought, that's nice. Could you get me one of those flowers? And Krishna said, no problem, I'll take the whole tree. And Indra said, no, you're not. That's only for heaven. And so Indra just had been helped by Krishna, and Krishna had done for him something which he should have done himself but was unable to, and then immediately forgot again and thought, no, I'm Indra and you're just someone from earth. So Indra tends to forget. But still Krishna, even after defeating Indra in battle, he didn't kill him as he would a demon. He wanted to keep him in his position. He supports the demigods. Not that Krishna really needs them. You may think, well, Krishna wants to keep them in their position so that the universal administration can go on. He needs the help. needs all the help he can get. It's a big job to run the universe. He can do it all himself. Sometimes he himself takes the role of Indra when there's no suitable living entity to take the position. So Krishna is the supporter. Behind all the demigods is Krishna. And whatever boons they may give, that is actually given by Krishna. But they become the demigods. People pray to the demigods for boons. And they get them, and the demigod may think, I'm giving the boon, and the receiver may think, I'm getting it, but actually it's all done simply. The demigods, they act as agents for the Supreme Lord, because everything is done ultimately by him. The word guru is well known. The name Devabrit is not well known, the name guru is... I'm not going to discuss it extensively, as it could be done. The commentators also don't discuss it extensively here, because it's already been discussed at name 211, came as guru. Just a few meanings, dictionary meanings of the word guru. Guru means important. Krishna is the most important. Guru means heavy in weight. Often we say guru is heavy, thinking a very heavy personality, but literally means heavy in weight. So we may say, there's a phrase in Sanskrit, guru bhojan, means heavy, heavy food. means it feels very heavy on the stomach. Guru means master. Guru can mean a priest. Guru can mean a pregnant woman. It says so in the dictionary. So women can be gurus in that way, I suppose, because they're heavy. A guru is also means brihaspati, just like there is what we call Thursday in English is called brihaspati varam or guru varam. So he's the guru of all the demigods. So these two names can be taken separately, or they can be put together, Deva Brit Guru. And that's the way that Baladev Vidyabhushan, the Gaurya Vaishnava commentator on the Vishnu Sahasranam, takes it, that he is that Vishnu is the teacher, the guru, and the maintainer of Brahma, Shiva, and all the demigods. So he's the teacher means the guru, and the Brit, the maintainer of all the demigods. Now, another way to take this is Shankara. Shankaracharya, he gives his interpretation like this. Deva Brit can also mean Indra, because he's the king of the demigods. So Krishna is the guru of Indra. Now, generally we think, the guru of Indra is Brihaspati. He's the, of all the demigods who are headed by Indra. So that's true, but Krishna is the guru of everyone. Krishnam vande jagat guru. And Krishna also sometimes personally advises Indra. Anyway, he's the guru of everyone. But personally he advises. There is one narration in the Brahma Vaivarta Purana concerning Indra's pride after having killed Vritra. This story is much... it appears in the Vedas and in Mahabharata and again. It's a big episode in cosmic history. Indra defeating Vritra, the great demon Vritra. So, having defeated the demon Vritrasura, Indra became very proud. Thought, well, I'm a pretty big man. You know, no one else could do it. I saved all the demigods. I saved the universal situation. So he called, Indra called Vishvakarma, who is the architect, engineer of the demigods, and told Vishvakarma that, I think I need a bigger palace. Big palace is to show how big a person is. If someone has a big house, it shows he's a big person. So Indra thought, well, my present abode, it's not big enough, so you should make it big and fine and befitting my status as the killer of Vritra and the king of all the gods. So Vishvakarma, he built a superb palace, and when he was ready, he called Indra and said, not really good enough. I need more of this, more gardens, more rooms, more decoration. So Vishvakarma said, okay, and went back to work. And so this went on several times. Indra was never satisfied. He thought, I'm so great. I need a palace bigger and bigger. My glories are infinite. So why should my palace not be? Vishvakarma at some point got frustrated, but he didn't dare to go to Indra and say, okay, enough's enough. Enjoy your palace as it is. So he went to Brahma and said, is there no end to this? I'm working hard day and night. I can't do anything else. I'm completely exhausted. And there seems to be no end to Indra's demands. Wants more and more and more. He's never satisfied. So Brahma was also flummoxed. He didn't know what to do. So he thought, let's go to Vishnu. Whenever we have any big problem, we go to Vishnu. It's because dealing with Indra is not such an easy thing. He's a powerful, important person, and at this point in time, very much inflated with pride. So what happened was, next morning, Indra's inspecting his palace, still dissatisfied, and he sees an effulgent Brahmana boy who he had never seen before. Small boy, 10 years old, looks like that, but shining, radiant, as someone who is full in the mode of goodness, full of spiritual knowledge, they become radiant. So Indra welcomed him. He thought, very nice, very nice. Okay. This lustrous Brahmana boy has come. That's good. I'll get some blessings from him. It's actually Vishnu. Not come directly to tell Indra, now, come on, be a good boy, but he himself comes as a boy, and Vishnu, so Indra says, you please see my palace. It's not really up to standard yet. I don't know what's going on with that Vishvakarma, but anyway, it's a good start. It was already magnificent, far more than anything else than any of the demigods had seen or previously imagined. So Indra started showing it to the boy. The boy said, well, yeah, looks good. Yeah, pretty good. Pretty nice. Nice gardens, nice fountains, nice chandeliers. Yeah, pretty good. I don't think any former Indra had ever succeeded in building a building as good as you have. Indra said, what? What? What are you talking about? What do you know? You're just a 10-year-old boy. How can you? What are you saying about former Indras? But the boy started telling Indra, yeah, I know, I remember there was this Indra and that Indra and another Indra. Yeah, I've seen them all. So many Indras, they all come and go. What to speak of Indras? Kota chatur anana mari mari jaltu. This is from Vidyapati. He says, how many Brahmas have come and gone? How many? They're coming and going and coming and going. Brahmas, their life is much longer than that of Indra. So, Vishnu is saying, yeah, I saw that Indra, and then after that there was the destruction of the universe, and then before going back even into previous creations. As he's saying this, all of a sudden the boy started laughing. And Indra's feeling unnerved now. So, what are you laughing about? What's so funny? And the boy pointed, he saw there was a long line of ants coming and going in and out of the palace. So the boy pointed at the ants. He said, ah, that's very funny. What's funny? He's saying, well, every one of them was an Indra previously. Oh, really? Oh, they were all Indras. You mean I'll probably become an ant too? Oh, really? Then someone else comes, Lomasa Rishi, but it's actually Lord Shiva having taken the form of Lomasa Rishi. And Indra receives him, but then he sees something very strange. Lomasa has an extraordinary lifetime, long lifetime. He's very hairy. His body is very hairy. When every single hair on his body has fallen out, his life will come to an end. But only one hair only falls out after the death of each Brahma. So he's got a very long lifespan there. So Indra saw, he didn't recognize it was Lomasa Rishi, or he didn't recognize that it was Shiva. He saw that the hairs on his chest, there is there's a gap. There's a very hairy chest, but there's a gap in the center. So Indra, after receiving him respectfully, asked him about this. You've got a strange, it looks quite strange. What is that in the middle of your chest? So Lomasa says that, well, in my own short lifetime, I've seen a lot of things. He's already been around for many Brahmas have come and gone. In my own short lifetime, I've seen many strange things. This is, I suppose you could say this is another strange thing. Every time a Brahma dies, one hair falls out. Oh, his own lifetime. So Indra starts to think, oh, I'm thinking I'm so great, but before this Rishi passes away, I'll be long gone. Maybe I'll be an ant several times before this Rishi passes away. So Indra was now, he was as if intoxicated, not in a good way. He was just, his mind was reeling, his palace, he saw it all as insignificant. So he called Vishwakarma and said, thanks a lot. Okay, you can stop your work now. Thanks a lot. Very good. And then he decided that I don't need a palace. What's the point of having a big palace? Everything in this world is temporary. I think I have to become a yogi now. What's the use of all this wealth and honor? I should leave home and just become a hermit and seek wisdom. So Shachi, his wife, she wasn't very happy with this. So she went to Brihaspati, who instructed him that, yeah, you better be Indra for now. And later on you can be a Rishi because you have a duty to do in the role of Indra. But you can cultivate spiritual wisdom side by side. So in this way, Vishnu became the guru. He instructed Indra in this manner. indirectly, from this narration. It sounds like an amusing narration, but of course there's so many important things to understand from this. One thing is that life, even if you have a lifespan of Indra, it's all very temporary. Even Lomasha Rishi, whose lifespan is practically unimaginable in length, it's just a flash in eternity. And what is this wealth and honor, prestige? What's the meaning? When Indra became the most prestigious person in the whole universe, but then he was taught, he became very proud. But he learned that there's nothing to be proud about. We're all insignificant. This is a very useful thing to remember. We are all insignificant. We come and we go. So trying to make our mark in the world, this is all meaningless. Of course, we should serve the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but to try to show, I'm a big man. Someone may do so like Indra, try to show I'm very big, or someone may try to do so imitating some great saint. Just now this Mother Teresa of Calcutta was made Saint Teresa. So you may think, well, I have to be remembered as a great saint. This is all meaningless. The only thing of any meaning is our eternal relationship with Krishna. And acting in that relationship to try to bring others to that realization also. Otherwise, even the post of Indra, even the post of Brahma, it's all temporary and can be bewildering also. Another point is that intrinsically, Indra is no more important than an ant. Of course, at the present time, Indra is more important than an ant. The jiva, in the form of Indra, has an important role in the universe. The ant doesn't. But intrinsically, we are no greater than an ant. The ant is also a jiva, and I am also a jiva. So, from this comes, again, more understanding. One point is, then why then should we consider ourselves to be very important? Another understanding is that all living beings are to be considered. You are just an ant. If we want to insult someone, you may say, you're no more than an ant. But an ant is also a living being, part and parcel of Krishna, just that he's got that body. And we will also get that kind of body. We've had that kind of body. We will get that kind of body again unless we become Krishna conscious. So in this way, Lord Vishnu, he indirectly instructed Lord Indra and became Deva Brit Guru, the guru of all the of Indra, who is, if he's the guru of Indra, so in this way we can understand that it is not easy to be the guru of Indra. Someone who's very proud, of course we shouldn't insult Indra either, but just to bring out the meaning of the story, the moral of the story. Someone who's very proud, how can he actually be a disciple? We find in Srimad Bhagavatam also it's described how Indra, out of his pride, he neglected his guru, and he had disastrous consequences for doing so. So those who are dhana duramadandhan, those who are blinded by the madness of wealth, for them it's very, very difficult to submit to a guru, even if they are superficially a disciple. Devotee has to become a kinchana. Janmaishwarya Shuta Shribhir Edhamanamada Puman naivahatya abhidhatum vai tvam akinchana gochara. Queen Kunti Devi prayed to Krishna that persons who have, due to some pious activities, who have these facilities of a prestigious birth, opulence, good looks, physical, beautiful features, learning, anyone who has one or more of these, they tend to be quite proud. I'm better than others. But because of that pride, they cannot be devotees of Krishna, or at least they cannot be very advanced devotees of Krishna, because Krishna is attainable by persons who are akinchan, who think that I have nothing but Krishna. So Indra was very proud. He thought, I am the most powerful. I deserve a big palace, bigger and bigger. I deserve it. What I have done, forgetting actually that he was himself hopeless of killing Vritra, but only he took directly help from Vishnu in doing so. So humility, the humility to submit and understand that I am very small, I am very insignificant. My only benefit comes in submitting to Krishna. So Indra, even though he did submit to Krishna, even though he took the lesson from Vishnu in the form of a young boy, he took the lesson that wealth, honor, prestige, all of these are temporary and illusory and therefore of no real meaning whatsoever. Even though he took that lesson from him, he didn't become inclined to become a devotee of Vishnu, to fully submit himself to him. So in that sense, we are more fortunate than Indra to have all these opulences. It's often an obstacle on the path to Krishna consciousness. One who's got nothing, or who aspires for nothing except Krishna, well, that's the very definition of a pure devotee. But if one wants to serve Krishna and also wants material opulence, big house, my children will study at prestigious universities, if we cultivate these material desires, then Krishna will not be pleased to reveal himself to us. Not even to the great Indra, who in piety is very, very high. One name of Indra is Shatakratu. 100 major sacrifices have to be performed to attain the post of Indra. So that means tremendous level of piety, but still Krishna, although he supports Indra, he's Devabrit, he supports Indra who supports all the other gods. Krishna supports him in his position, but still Krishna is more inclined to the simple devotee who, without great opulence, offers Krishna leaf, flower, fruit or water with pure love. Krishna is very much inclined to such a devotee. So he's the guru of all the demigods, particularly to those who, to Indra, who is the supporter of the demigods. But at the same time, he is more inclined to his pure devotees than to demigods or great yogis. This we find again and again, such instruction within Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, I'll finish there. Any question about this, please? Very good point. I always try to remind myself our own insignificance. It's important when you're a guru and people praise you, and serve you and respect you, but it's always good to remember that we are intrinsically insignificant. Krishna is significant. We're very small. We're all very small. That shouldn't be, for a materialist, that would be depressing. Oh, I'm small. I don't want to be small, I want to be big. But for a devotee, it's enlivening because he thinks that, well, I'm so small, but still Krishna is kind to me. Even Krishna is, I am infinitesimal. Krishna is infinite. But Krishna is so kind, he allows me to offer fruit, flower, leaf, and water to him. He wants me to come and be with him. Krishna is so kind that he wants to extend himself to me so that I can enter into a personal relationship with him. So remember our own insignificance so we don't get carried away by Maya trying to establish ourselves in this material world. And at the same time be very happy to have the opportunity to serve Krishna or to become the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. Hare Krishna. So yeah, so any question about this?
Maharaj, what makes us forget this, that we are insignificant?
What makes us forget that we are insignificant? Well, what's your answer? Why do you forget?
Forgetting Krishna, maybe?
Forgetting Krishna. Yeah. It's illusion that we think I'm very important. We see through these eyes, we hear through these ears, we taste through the tongue, and we think, well, I'm the center of everything. That's particularly prominent in babies. They don't have any sense of discrimination. They're just on the platform of Annamoy, give me some. They need food, scream. Some people, they grow up physically, but they remain on the platform of a baby. Everyone should just do everything for me. The whole world is meant for my pleasure. Why are you disturbing me? Why don't you do what I say? They become depressed when they find that the whole world is not actually revolving around them. They try to make arrangements that it does. Like Indra building a big house. Everyone should see I'm so great. So why do we forget that? Well, we should go on hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam class regularly. Then we won't forget it. Then we hear, Krishna is great, I'm very small, I'm his eternal servant. Therefore we should hear regularly.
I've always wondered, can we not keep a balance between Krishna and carrying on with our activities?
Keep a balance between Krishna consciousness and our worldly activities.
Yes, such as if you live in a big house, that is given to you by Krishna in the first place.
A big house is given to you by Krishna in the first place.
You work for it and you got the strength.
You work for it and you get the strength from Krishna. Yeah, you could also use the strength to directly serve Krishna. I'm often asked this question, what's the balance between material activities and Krishna consciousness? My standard reply is 100% Krishna consciousness, 0% material. That's what it means to enter the spiritual world. But as long as we're in this world, we need to brush our teeth, eat some food. But we don't need big houses. You can live in a small house also. You may say, Krishna gave it to me. Krishna gave me the strength to work. But like I said, you could use that energy also for Krishna. It may be that Krishna gives you a big house. In Srimad Bhagavatam is narrated about Sudama, who was very poor, and Krishna made him very rich. But his attitude didn't change. When he was very poor, he thought, well, I'm very poor. But I can chant Hare Krishna. When he was very rich, he thought, well, now I'm rich, I can chant Hare Krishna and I can do opulent deity worship. His whole attitude was everything for Krishna. Krishna te kila cheshta. All endeavors should be for Krishna. If we have any motive of enjoying this world, that takes us, that keeps us away from Krishna. A very poor man can be full of material desire. A very rich man can be completely detached from material desire and thinking, well, I got this due to my previous, whatever, Krishna's given me this, but let me use it all in Krishna's service. But generally, as in the case of Indra just narrated here, when one does become opulent, that tends to bewilder the consciousness, because one is respected by others on false grounds, and one has the opportunity to lavishly enjoy life, which the poor man doesn't have. So it tends to be bewildering, this opulence and so many things. Do you live in a big house which you got by your hard work? No, so you may have to come back again in another life to try and fulfill that desire. But if you don't have the karmas to be a human, you might be an ant and build a big... Have you seen big ant hills? You don't get them in this country. You see in India, big ant hills. Like, I think in Africa they have huge ones. So you may get to live in a big house, but not a human house. You won't, because you're chanting Hare Krishna, but that's what happens. If we have material desires, they can get fulfilled, but maybe not exactly the way we want. Someone may think, I want to be the leader, I want to be the Prime Minister of Britain. But there are others who also think like that, and not everyone can be the Prime Minister of Britain. So you may get your desire fulfilled. You may become the leader of a pack of dogs. You become the leader, you have the, yeah, I'm the leader, rah, 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 all the other dogs are under me. But if you don't have the desire is there, that will be fulfilled. But if you don't have the karma to fulfill it in the way, if you don't become Indra or the Prime Minister of Britain, you can be a leader, maybe the queen ant in a big ant nest.
What I'm making is, you could have a time management. You devote a certain time, you make a plan.
Yeah, and my point is that everything in material life is useless. So if you... It's ultimately useless, because it's all destroyed in course of time. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
No, I'm not telling you that.
You're not going to tell me. Okay, well, let's guess that you're 173 years old. No, that's a bit over. Okay, 17. That's what the ladies like to hear. So, how many more years are you going to live? Whatever time we have, we should utilize for Krishna consciousness. And other things are incidental. Brushing the teeth will go on. The biggest person in the country brushes his teeth, and the smallest one also, unless they're just completely winos or whatever. They're just too much in the mode of ignorance. So whether you brush your teeth or eat some food in a big palace or on the street, these things go on. But our real important point is to be Krishna conscious and go to Krishna. And yes, as long as we're in this world, then these things we have to see to. Shower regularly, clean our teeth, eat some food, have to work. Sharira yatra pichate na prasidhyada karmanaha. Without doing some work, we can't maintain the body. But we shouldn't put overemphasis on this or think that this is our real important business in life, or that is of any ultimate importance whatsoever. It's necessary as long as we're in this world. But it has no ultimate meaning.
They got so much wealth, yet they got the time to pray five times a day.
Okay, but our aim is to pray all day, every day. You can do that in your daily life also. The point is to think of Krishna always. I'll pray five times a day to Allah, and the rest of the time, by Allah's grace, I'll enjoy this world. No, that's a wrong outlook. We are meant for serving Allah for His pleasure. Not that I pray to Him and He gives me enjoyment. And the very idea of enjoying in this world is an illusion. There's no enjoyment in this world. If we think so, well, we come back as an ant and a dog and try and enjoy in various ways. So we don't say, don't eat. We say, take Krishna prasadam. Make everything Krishna-centered. We don't say, if you have a big house, you can live in it. You can. This Philip here, he inherited a big house. Then the devotees, he's opening it up. Let the devotees come and stay. Someone else might think, okay, let's divide it up and rent it out and get some more money, make some plans and scheme. Well, you can do that also. There's no harm in that. But if we think that this is my really important business in life, then we're getting entangled. We should always keep it prominent in our consciousness. I'm going to die soon. Even the baby, they celebrate the first birthday. That means 1 year closer to death. Birthday means death day. Every day is a death day. Every day we're getting closer to death. Before we die, we have to do whatever is required so we don't get born again. That should be our attitude. The idea, let me be comfortable in this material world. Of course, as long as we're in this body, and we have to eat, we have to sleep. So arrangements should be there for that. But that's not... But there's the saying that the girl is dressing up and dressing up and dressing up for the wedding, and then she forgot and she went right past the time and missed the wedding altogether. So we may think, well, I'm making my body fit and strong so I can serve Krishna, and then we more fit, more strong, and forgot Krishna. Hare Krishna. We'll finish there. We'll finish there at this point. We can finish.